wish everyone in the world had the opportunity to hear that trio. You did a great job, fellas. And Lydia, God bless you. Lydia had an operation for a tumor in her spine, and for a while couldn't use her hand or arm. We didn't know if she would speak after that. They had to go through the front by her voice box for part of the surgery. But God has raised her up. I think this is the first time she's played for a group. My heart is thrilled. And all of us are so grateful to God for His blessings, aren't we? All of us. We have a wonderful Savior. Don't ever let circumstances hide you from that. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And so we want to be remembering and reminded constantly of the goodness of God. Never be blinded to the goodness of God. And repentance is not one time doing something. It's staying in an attitude of being right with God. That God's right, we're wrong, and we're turning from anything that is in disagreement with Him. And so may God help us in so many ways. I want you to have your Bible ready and open it, if you would, please, to the book of Philippians in the New Testament. And we're still in Philippians chapter 1. We're about to pass out of Philippians chapter 1, but I have my Bible open to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading with verse 19 in just a moment as we continue this preaching and teaching through the book of Philippians. And I trust God is using these messages on Wednesday evenings to encourage you. It's encouraging me to think that I'm giving you God's Word and you can be encouraged by it. Let's look at the Word of God together. Philippians chapter 1, begin with verse 19. Remember, Paul is penning these words under the inspiration of the Spirit of God from a prison cell. So Paul, the prisoner, is declaring. And he writes to us in verse 19, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This is referred to, this particular verse, 21 in chapter 1, as the heart of this particular book of the Bible. But if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark an expression that we'll find in verse 19. Would you please do that? "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." And in particular, "this shall turn to my salvation." I'm quite amazed, really, at how the Word of God speaks to our hearts during the crisis that we're presently involved in. And God says here, as Paul's writing about his own circumstances, that "I know this shall turn to my salvation." And we're declaring that. Remember that Paul's imprisonment, he says, is for the furtherance of the gospel. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. We have an aptitude for that, don't we? We have a feeling about things. We just see in a certain dimension, and we think it means this. We have to look again through the eyes of faith. It's like the prophet's helper who went out and saw the soldiers surrounding, and he thought he was doomed. And the man of God said, "Go look again the second time." And he saw the fiery chariots of God's force gathered around them, protecting them. And you and I need that second look so many times, just to ask God to help us see what He wants us to see through the eyes of faith, not just by sight. And Paul is writing from this Roman prison, has already declared that all of this, everything that's happened to him, is for the furtherance of the gospel. You could hardly imagine such a statement could be made from a man in prison. But he said, I'm here for a good thing. Don't be ignorant of it. God is working all this out for the furtherance of the gospel. And then he declares by faith here that this too, he knows this too shall turn to his salvation. Salvation here is an all-inclusive word in Paul's life. It has to do with deliverance. We know that Paul already knows the Lord in salvation as far as having been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. He met the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road and asked God to forgive his sin, and by faith trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Have you asked God to forgive your sin and by faith trusted Christ as your Savior? And you could say that you have salvation, full, free, and forever, that the Lord Jesus is yours. He lives in you. You've been born again. This is why Jesus went to the cross. This is why he bled and died, to pay your sin debt and mine. He paid our debt. The Word of God says he tasted death for every man. Just for the record, I believe that. I hope you believe that. I've never offered the gospel to the wrong person. If I happen to be telling someone who doesn't know the Lord about the gospel, they need to hear the gospel. If I'm telling someone who does know the Lord about the gospel, then they can rejoice with me that we both know the gospel, that heaven's our home, and eternal life is our present possession. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, right now where you are, ask God to forgive your sin. Let him use all these circumstances. Paul was already a Christian writing from Rome in this prison cell to these Christians in Philippi. We know that it doesn't mean exactly being confined to salvation from sin with this word. When the Lord says plainly here, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation, my deliverance. And he goes on to explain so many things that we need to know. God is in the turning business. God is going to turn our situation to our salvation. The Lord will bring our deliverance. We look to him and trust in him. Look away from everything else and look to the Lord for his deliverance and the salvation only he can give. And there's some simple things I want us to glean from this particular passage of Scripture. And I'd like you to write them down because, as I've said hundreds of times in my life and ministry, I don't speak to be heard. I hope you're listening. But I don't speak to be heard. I speak to be repeated. Because if it's truth, it needs to be passed down the line. And so if you're hearing the truth from God's Word, then you become obligated to give that same truth to others who need it. Let's look at this passage. Would you look at it, please? First, there is confidence in God declared. Write that down. Confidence in God is declared. There's not going to be a turning, a changing, until we're brought to the place of confidence in God. Confidence in God is declared. Notice the language used here in verse 19. For I know. For I know. You can't be more certain than that. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation. That sounds a lot like what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me read it to you. In verse 12 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You have a certain certainty about your faith? Do you? I want you to go with me to the gospel according to Luke chapter 1. And let's just begin reading in Luke chapter 1. And I want you to listen for something that will help you greatly. Because Paul is in a prison cell. He could be down in the dumps and think, where's God in all of this? What's going on? Someone called our home recently, inquisitive, and said, what's going on in our world? I don't have all the answers. But I know I can anchor my faith in the Lord. Let's read this. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1, "For as much," verse 1, "as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Doesn't that sound wonderful? "Most surely believed among us. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of the things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." The certainty. We want to see things change. We want God to move and work. We need answers to prayer. And we have a God who is almighty and able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think. And the Bible says here, as Paul is writing, saying, I know. And in the very words of Scripture, he says, I know. See, he's talking about God. "That this shall turn to my salvation." If we're going to see things turn, real change is wrought, we have to live in the confidence that we have in God and declare that confidence. Confidence declared in God. That's the second thing I'd like you to write down. It's clearly given to us here. It is continuing in faith and hope. Don't give up hope. You're not going to lose your faith. But you might have some ideas from time to time about, are you still going to keep your hope? Faith and hope. Faith and hope. Faith and hope. Listen to the verse. The Bible says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of God." How do you get things done? By prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Prayer. Did you know that heaven can be bombarded with our prayers? That's what we need to be doing. Bombarding heaven with our prayers. I'm so thrilled when I find people all over the country who are praying for me. And I rejoice in it. They're praying for me. I talked to my dear friend, Bill Jensen, in Clark Fork, Idaho, early this morning. He's there with our camp property, The Passage. And he and Deb, wonderful people, love the Lord. And they love God. They truly love God. He said, "I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for the work of the Crown College and Temple Baptist Church." And I thank God for that. I got off a plane early in January in the city of Seattle in Washington. I was preaching at a conference, and people met me, and the first thing out of their mouth was, "I'm praying for you." I hear every day from people say, "I'm praying for you." My wife gave me a stack of cards that came to our home that said, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." Paul said heaven is being bombarded with the prayers of God's people. There's a shake-up at the throne of God. People are praying for us. We all can participate in this because God has given us access. He says so kindly and certainly, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." How? Through your prayer. Through your prayer. People didn't just leave Paul alone in prison and forget about him. They were praying for him. And I want you to know you're not alone. People are praying for you. And you can reap more of that by praying for others. Because we reap what we sow, don't we? Praying. Constantly praying for others, interceding for others. And the Word of God says, and, the conjunction, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. Look in chapter 2 of this same book, while you have your Bible open there, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." I read that along with this expression from the 19th verse, the last part of it, "and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." This is how we can move forward. This is how we can continue in the Lord's work. This is how we can keep looking to God in faith and hope. In the very next verse, the description is given, "according to my earnest expectation and my hope." What is this earnest expectation? Hold your place there a moment. Let me just read for you from the 62nd Psalm and verse 5. "My soul," the psalmist says, speaking to his soul, "my soul," verse 5, Psalm 62. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. My faith is in him, I'm looking to him." You know, friends, we don't like to admit it, but there are things that have to happen sometimes to cause us to look away from the things of this world. Because we don't find the answer in the things of this world. We don't find the strength in the things of this world. We get in our routines, and our routines get broken. Sometimes they need to be broken. So we get our eyes off of the routine and back onto the Lord. Habitually, we can live a certain way, and faith can be removed from it. But Paul is in prison saying, I know all of this is going to turn. God's going to bring it to pass because you're praying for me. And the Holy Spirit is working in me and through me. And then he says, according to. He's comparing that and adding that, linking that with something. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. My earnest expectation. What is our sincere, earnest expectation? We need to give up on everything but God. I mean by that, we need to give up on everything we think can deliver us and bring our salvation, except God. The psalmist says, my expectation is of him. Hold your place there. Let me read this great verse on faith and remind you. I've given two messages recently on this verse from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. His expectation is for something that he doesn't see. The evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. And he writes here saying, in verse 20 of Philippians chapter 1, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. In nothing I shall be ashamed. I've got expectation and hope. What do you think it means to me when people tell me they're praying for me? It's a special blessing now with all that's going on, of course. And I find strength and encouragement in what they're saying. The strength doesn't come from them exactly. But it comes from, I know God blessing me because of their interceding prayers. And we need to pray for one another. We need to get back to see how powerful intercessory prayer is. And in a sense, that's all we have. That's all we have. You know, you can do everything you possibly can do within your power to avoid any calamity in our present situation. And you may still face the calamity. No guarantee. I'm trying to be responsible. I'm trying to be responsible because I love my wife, my children, my grandchildren. I wouldn't want to do anything to harm them. I'm not thinking first of myself. Responsible. I want them to feel that way toward me to be responsible. But I also am thinking about what the Lord has given me to do. Someday God will be finished with me. And someday God will be finished with you here. And that'll be grand and glorious. The Bible says far better for the Christian. But until he is, we don't need to tempt God. We need to be responsible. obedient to the law and do what we can. This makes me want to pray more fervently for people who are actually involved, health workers, healthcare workers and others. Some of our people in the disciplines of law and the fire department and that type of thing. Ambulance drivers. Sometimes people have no choice. They're just in emergency and necessity fields, and they have no choice. We must pray for their safety. I pray, I think more earnestly for our president. I really admire our president. I pray for him. I usually add some disclaimer because of something he said that might be a little off color. But I'm not going to do any of that now. I'm feeling for the man. I'm empathizing for the man. He's under such a load, and I'm praying for him. And in reality, I can't do much more, and I can't do anything better than pray for him and pray for his protection, that God be with him. And I know that God shall turn this, may I say, with the plural pronoun, to our salvation. It won't be like this forever. God is working. Paul said, God shall turn this to my salvation. What you first think about this prison cell and the confinement of it, I want you to get out of your mind. Because God is not confined by this prison cell. It's for the furtherance of the gospel. And we need to live with this faith in God and declare it boldly, with our confidence declared, that God's going to work and He is working. And we need to continue in faith and hope. We don't just have that one day, it's every day. Faith is a daily matter. You can't live on yesterday's faith. We have to believe God today and trust God today. You have to trust the Lord today and believe God today. No matter what happens, be as responsible as possible, but trusting Him and hoping in Him today. Let's see what else God has for us here in this beautiful passage of Scripture. Notice the third thing, if you'll write it down. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Confidence in God declared, continuing in faith and hope, Christ boldly magnified. I'll tell you one thing. We don't need to bring any shame to the Lord, and we don't ever need to be ashamed of the Lord. Paul said, I don't want any of this to bring shame to the Lord. I shall be ashamed in nothing, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. And then he adds an unusual twist to it. You could stop there and say, I'm just going to live for Christ. But he goes on to say, whether it be by life or by death. And just in case we don't get it, God gives him these words. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is a true statement. Because our Christian life doesn't end at our physical death. Our service to God, in one sense, will only truly begin in the greatest of ways at our death. So, for me to live is Christ. And if that's true, I'm living for Christ, then to die will be gain. We'll see Him. You say, Pastor, how do you feel about it? Well, I'll tell you the truth. I want to live to invest as much life as possible in the Lord's work. I've gone through two ordeals physically where I thought that was the end of it. It's an eye-opener. It's a real wake-up call. My wife said, they told her, he's gone. She said, you'll never know that feeling, I hope. He's gone. And then a few minutes or moments later, he's back. The Christian can't lose, friend. He cannot lose. I want to invest as much as possible in eternity. I want to sow as much toward eternity in heaven and glory as I possibly can. But death will come as no loss to those who have made Christ their life. Now, I want to get as thoroughly right as possible with the Lord. I want to live every day in light of the fact that He could come at any moment. I don't want Him to find me doing anything or even thinking anything that would be disgraceful or shameful to a child of God. But Paul doesn't know he's going to face Nero. He doesn't know the outcome. He's a prisoner. He could be executed or exalted. It's not a certain thing. That's not. But the things that are certain help him to deal with that. And I want to say to all of you who are listening with your heart, the things that are certain, and there are things that are certain, the things that cannot be shaken, and there are things that cannot be shaken. As if I were standing in that prison cell with Paul and I said, "Now, Paul, salvation is ours." "Yes." "Christ liveth in me." "Oh, yes." "The hope of glory." "Oh, yes." "Heaven's my home." "No doubt about it." "God is constantly with me." "Oh, yes." "The walls of this jail cell don't hinder me from prayer because I can speak with God. And the Holy Spirit is interceding. Christ ever liveth to intercede for me. And my prayer life can be greater here than any other place." "Oh, yes." I'm saying every once in a while, maybe more often than you might think, rehearse the things that can never be taken away from you that you have in the Lord. You have them. Many things are yours to leave. But there are some things that are yours, that are gifts God has given you to keep forever, to be with Him. And so this old warrior with pen in hand in a prison cell writes, "And I know, I know that this shall turn to my salvation. I understand you're praying for me, and the Holy Spirit is living in me. And I want to live boldly in a way to never bring shame to Christ, that Jesus Christ may be magnified to my last breath and I see Him face to face. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Isn't this a wonderfully encouraging passage of Scripture? And doesn't it help us, all of us, especially in a time like this? Let's pray together, may we?